नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena. Text number 9.
Yaha svadharmena mam nityam nirashi shaddaya panditaha Bhajate Shanakai Tasya Manaha Rajan Prasidati. Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam Nirashi Svadayanvitaha Bhajate Shanakai Stasya Manorajan Prasidati Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam Nirashi Sadhyan Vittaha Bhajate Shanakai Stasya Manurajan Prasidati Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam Nirashi Svadayan Vittaha Bhajyate Shanakaistasya Manurajan Prasidati Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam Nirashi Svadayan Vittaha Bhajate Shanakai Stasya Manurajan Prasidati Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam Nirashi Svadayan Vittaha Bhajate Shanakai Stasya Manurajan Prasidati Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam Nirashi Svadayan Vittaha Bhajate Shanakai Stasya Manurajan Prasidati Yaha Anyone who Svadharmena by his occupational duties Mam me Nityam regularly Nirashi, without any motive. Saddaya, with faith and devotion. Anvittaha, endowed. Bhajate, worships. Shanakai, gradually. Tasya, his. Manaha, mind. Rajan, O King Prithu, Prasidati, becomes fully satisfied. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, continued, my dear king, when one situated in his occupational duty engages in my loving service without motive for material gain, he gradually becomes very satisfied within. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse is also confirmed by the Vishnu Purana. Occupational duties are known as Varnashrama Dharma and apply to the four divisions of material and spiritual life, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa. One works according to the Varnashrama Dharma system and does not desire fruitive results, he gets satisfaction gradually. Discharging one's occupational duty as a means of rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. Bhagavad Gita confirms this as the process of karma yoga. In other words, we should act only for the satisfaction and service of the Lord. Otherwise, we will be entangled by the resultant actions. Everyone is situated in his occupational duty, but the purpose of material occupations should not be material gain. Rather, everyone should offer the results of his occupational activities. A brahmana especially should execute his occupational duties not for material gain, but to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra should work in a similar way. In the material world, everyone is engaged in various professional and occupational duties. But the purpose of such activities should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotional service is very simple, and anyone can adopt it. Let one remain what he is. He need only install the deity of the Supreme Lord in his house. The deity may be Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan. There are many other forms of the Lord. In this way, a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra can worship the deity. With the results of his honest labor, regardless of one's occupational duty, one should adopt the devotional means of hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, offering everything to the Lord, and engaging in his service. In this way, one can very easily engage himself in the service of the Lord. When the Lord is pleased with one's service, one's mission in life is fulfilled. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Ivishesha Sunyavari Paschatcha Desa Charane Om Mangyanam Chimaram Dasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Niritam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalpa Trubhyas Chakrita Sindhu Bheva Chakatita Nam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. So anyone, swadharmena, by means of his swadharma. So dharma, when it says swadharma, it means that occupational duty, Prabhupada says, what you do to earn your livelihood, how you stay alive. So this dharma, swadharma, means according to your own psycho-physical nature. Prabhupada uses this term in the Bhagavad Gita. Swadharma is according to your body and mind. Therefore, material. I have a certain kind of constitution, bodily constitution, and mental makeup. And this is my swadharma. What is the determinant of swadharma? Guna and karma. Because Krishna says, I created these, chaturvarnam, maya sristam. Where did this system of four varnas come from? Krishna says, maya sristam, comes from me. How are they divided? Vibhagasaha, guna and karma. By the mode of nature they are situated in. And karma, by the work that they do, the activities they perform. That's how you know. So that's where it comes from. This system, when you say dharma, it doesn't mean artificial. It means your nature. Now we have another nature also, to spiritual nature. This one's called Varnashrama Dharma, according to your material nature. Either your situation in the modes of nature, and according to your progression in life, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, is also the stages of life this way. But that's all according to material nature. Spiritual nature, one's dharma is called Sanatana Dharma. And the Sanatana Dharma is that I am a servant of Krishna. What is the occupation of the soul? To serve the Lord. So these two dharmas, how do you coordinate them? How do you bring them together? And here's this verse. This is how they are come together. Because what your occupational duty, your swadharma, is dictated by the modes of material nature. So people are situated in different modes of nature. They're going to work in different ways. So, as he says, he may stay, we may remain, one remain what he is. How do you begin in devotional service? Keep your occupational duty, whatever it is. Although some people we have to say, it is better you stop being a butcher. If your occupational duty is sinful, then you don't. Although sometimes people have actually become devotees, especially like in the Indian system, sometimes people cannot change. You know, they're locked in. So sometimes you can't change, because after all, you have to stay alive somehow or other. So sometimes you can't change. But anyway, so, but otherwise, if something is there, you stay. And he says, now he's particularly talking about household life, you install a deity in your home. Now what that means is that you're now the proprietor of your house becomes Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan. So you're doing your household activities, but you are doing them for Lakshmi Narayan. You are cooking, but you are feeding them. And then, if I'm the husband, traditional system, I am the proprietor of the house, a wife, children. Now I'm not proprietor anymore. Krishna, they don't belong to me. I say to the Lord, they belong to you. I'm not the enjoyer anymore. I thought this was my house, but now it's your house, and now I'm the servant. And so everything I do now is to serve. Well, I become a servant. And by installing the deity, actually, I become the servant. That's the real idea. That's what he's mentioning there. So he's saying here, so by that Swadharma, mam nityam nirashi, nityam means constantly or regularly, without deviation, nityam. Nityam means the things you do every day. It also means eternal, but when we say it here, it means as a regular daily activity. Perpetual. And what with what he bhajate, he says, mam nityam bhajate, he worships me, but what? Nirashi, without any desire for personal benefit. As Prabhupada says here, everyone is situated in his occupational duty, his swadharma. Occupation is what usually what you when you say to somebody, what is your occupation? What do you do to make your living? So naturally, what is the purpose? Why are we working? We call it work. Work is different from fun. Work means you make money. Fun means you spend money. So you can go someplace to have fun, and there are other people in that same place. You know, you go to some amusement park, people, you have some money, and you go to some place where there's these Ferris wheels going up and down, and rides, and the roller coaster, and all these different things. I haven't been to one in quite a few years. I'm sure they're quite high tech now, but when I was there, they put them up in a vacant lot in town, and you would go, and they have this, you get in this field that goes around and around and around, and you go and you shoot a gun and try to hit the thing and win a little bear or something, and people are buying popcorn and all these things, and the fair, the county fair, like that. And they call them now amusement parks. This is where you go to have fun. But you know, there are other people there who are there longer than you, and they're not having fun. They're working. They're laboring. They're in the same place, same day, but you can look at their faces. They're not amused. They're not having fun. But for them it's work. Because they are the employees. They have to be there. So why are they there? Because they're making money. You're spending, they're making. Okay. You go to the shopping mall, everybody's shopping, having fun, spending money. In America, spending money is what people do for fun. It's very different from India. In India, people don't like to spend money. They like to see how little I can spend. But in America, the idea is how much can I spend? Otherwise, because people will do this, if the same perfume is there, and same perfume is in two bottles, one is $10 a bottle, and the other is $100 a bottle, they'll buy the $100. Because it has the brand name. They won't buy the cheap perfume, so it's the same stuff. Sometimes they even know it's the same stuff, but they buy it because it has this name. They like to spend money. The more money I spend, the greater I am. They do this for having fun. Anyway, but the people that are making money, they're working. Occupation doing what you do so you can stay alive. So you have some roof over your head, you have some food on the table, and maybe you get sick, you can afford a doctor. Do what you do. What is that? That's called material gain. Even if I'm not very greedy, still, I have to stay alive. There has to be food every day. There has to be some place to live. So that's why he says, everyone is situated in his occupational duty. So you have to do something. But the purpose of material occupation should not be material gain. See, that's the big difference. You do the same activity as before, but not for material gain. And how can I do that? Shraddhanvita, if I have Shraddha, if I am endowed with Shraddha. Because I have to think, if I do this for somebody else, I don't worry about my material gain. I do my duty, but I don't worry about my material gain. How will I stay alive? How will I? Because Krishna will keep me alive. You see the flowers in our yard? Are they working? They're alive. Even the birds don't work. But somehow they fly down on the ground and there's, every day there's breakfast. And worms are there and you see them walking in the yard. They breakfast every day. They don't have to go to work so they can have breakfast every day. If they wake up, and there it is. Who's maintaining them? So actually, Shastra says that there's maintenance for everybody by the will of the Lord. When any living entity is here, his maintenance is there. So why no maintenance for us? Actually, we're thinking by our work we're getting this maintenance. It's not the case. We're getting the maintenance by the mercy of Krishna. That doesn't mean we shouldn't work. We have to be active. But there's a question of that we should work for Krishna and depend on Krishna for the result. The result is actually whatever Krishna gives me. And I have to be coming from Krishna. And I have to have this Shraddha. So even if I'm poor, we have the example of one disciple of Chaitanya Maharaj. What was his name? Kulavetasridhar, right? What was his occupational duty? Remember? What did he do? Yeah, he sold bananas or flowers and everything. But that's not very rich. You don't get rich by this. By the side of the road and you sell either bananas or maybe banana leaves and banana for the people that eat. And what did he do with his money? Half of it he spent. Half. One half, even though it was such a little bit, somehow he spent half. Okay. I think he was worshipping Mother Ganga, huh? He was worshipping Mother Ganga. This is a way of worshipping Krishna. You do that in the devotional mood, then you understand that he's flowing from Krishna's feet. So he's a great devotee, I worship him. And he did it in the right intelligence, so. It wasn't demigod worship. And Lord Chaitanya is a very, very great devotee. And somehow or other, he stayed alive. If he needed more customers, he could send the customers. Because Prabhupada actually told us that all householders should give 50% of their income for devotional service. And we don't see in our congregation how many people are giving. Even our biggest donor, they don't give 50%. Even the initiated devotees, they don't give 50%. And they say, I can't do it. If I made a lot of money, I could. Now I want one day, maybe I can do like that. I know one doctor, Indian man, he gave 50%. And he went to some other doctors and said, you should give 50%. And they said, well, you do that because you make so much money. I don't make so much money. I can't do that. And actually, you give 50% of what you make, but your wife is also a doctor, and so she brings you, so you would have made that some way. Because only if I made as much money as you, I could give 50%. Okay. But my feeling is actually that we should have Shraddha. Prabhupada says to do that. If one starts by giving 50%, you're out making money, and you give 50%, even though it's very hardship, then Krishna will make you rich so that you have 50% to live on. I guarantee this will happen. Even though you cannot see, how is it possible? And maybe you may have some days where you have very little to eat, but I think Krishna will actually... But anyway, that's what Prabhupada said. When he said without motive for material gain, he said 50%. I assume that's after tax. Not the gross income, it's after tax. Which brings a little closer to what the Christians always say. They have this idea you should give 10%. 10% after tax income. And when they do that, the churches are rich. They have plenty of money, even 10%. Like the Mormon church, some people are very good about that. This is called in English tithe, T-I-T-H-E, tithe, when you give 10% of your income in tithe. And actually they have this injunction, 10%. Yeah, they should. The Prabhupada said 50%. Yeah. I assume that's after taxes. What you have to spend. Not, some people say, well, he means that you deduct all your expenses, you deduct your housing costs, you deduct your eating costs, you deduct everything else, cost of taking care of the children. What's left over, then you give half of that. That's not what he means. I wonder what he explained like that. But this is Nirashi, this is what this means. Nirashi. I give 50% and somehow or other, by Krishna's mercy I have faith, till I'll be able to live on the other half. And actually I think the best thing is just to start and do it. But surrender to Krishna means when you surrender, sometimes you wonder, how will I succeed? Surrender means like that. Will it work? What will happen? I don't know. Just like we see when Prabhupada went to America, did he know what was going to happen? Did he know he was going to succeed? No. He was going to a strange country. He had no money. He had no preparation. He didn't send people in advance to make ready. He didn't have anybody in America. He had one sponsorship, the son of a friend in Butler, Pennsylvania. Otherwise, there's no Agarwal. No, they didn't know. He didn't know what was going to happen. And for some time, he thought maybe he was not going to succeed. He was living in New York City. He came in the fall, so then there was this winter, New York winter. Prabhupada had never seen snow before. And he was even living in an office building. He didn't have his own, bathroom thing. And Prabhupada said that he used to check the newspaper to see when the ships were going back to India because he thought he might have to leave. So this is, but still, he took this risk. It's like a risk. You're 70 years old, I'm going to this strange country, I have no money. you know, he was allowed to take out 40 rupees from India. At that time there was a currency restriction, so he took out 40 rupees. And that meant at that time, $7. Now the rupees was for, but then it was $7. But actually, when he came to America, no bank would exchange it. Nobody wanted rupees. So what he had was, he sold that captain of the Jalabita, what's his name? Anyway, he sold the Jalabita captain, the one that had bothered upon three volumes for $25. And that was what he had. And somehow or other, I think his sponsor had purchased one bus ticket. And that's how he got here. The Butler Pennsylvania by bus. So, no money. But he did it. So you think, how will it work? How will I take care of myself? How will I be maintained? So it seems like you're taking a risk, like you're stepping off and you don't know if another step is going to be there or not. But then the beautiful thing about surrender is when you do that, you feel Krishna holding you up. He got you there. Every time we surrender, I'm like, oh, this is too much, or this is more than I can do, or I feel risky and it's dangerous. But actually, Krishna reciprocates, and he maintains it. So that's why there's Shraddha. Shraddha has to be there. He has Shraddha and Nirashi. Nirashi because I am sure that Krishna will take care of me. Krishna says surrender to me, but he also says, I'll give you all protection. Then naturally when you surrender to somebody, you want to know, who am I surrendering to? Will they take care of me? I'm not going to take care of myself anymore. Who's going to take care of me? Just like at least traditionally a woman would get married, she wants to, at least her parents want to make sure that husband, can you take care of her? Otherwise how could she surrender? So Krishna says, I will take care of you. Of course, it looks sometimes like we have no visible means of support. That is not visible. So one does this, then gradually, mano rajam, prasidati. Then, in this way, one becomes prasidati, fully satisfied. Fully satisfied. So this is his recommendation, that his varnashram dharma system should be done, all occupational duties, and it should be performed for the service of the Lord. It should not be performed for sense gratification. And then one can become satisfied. Now this is called karma yoga. Prabhupada says in the purport, this is known as karma yoga. So this is guna karma. This is your karma. This is your activity. But you renounce the fruit. You give up the fruit of that. Prabhupada says, when one is still attached to the fruit but trying to give them up, then he is acting in karma yoga. When one is attached to mental speculation but is still trying to understand the Lord, then he is acting in jnana yoga. But when he finally surrenders everything to Krishna, then he is bhakti yoga. So this karma yoga can indicate a beginning stage of devotional service. I'm still attached to one kind of work. I like to do that work. Like if I'm a Vaishya, I have this idea I want to make money. I want to make money. So still I'm going to act like I want to make money, but I'm going to give the money to Krishna. But still the impulse for making money is there. That's my nature.
If I'm a Kshatriya, I have Ishwara Bhav. I want to be the controller. Not so much attached to money, but to honor, glory. Okay? So then I have to act that way. But still, I should. Kshatriya means I have to protect others. And I have to protect others in such a way that Krishna is satisfied. So no one should be attached to this. You may stay that way. Then gradually also you become purified. And actually can sometimes act in a way that is not according to your psychophysical nature. But we can do, ultimately we can do anything for Krishna. But in the beginning, one has one psychophysical nature, you should act in that way. Rather, everyone should offer the result of his occupation. Everyone is situated in his occupational duty. But the purpose of material occupation should not be material gain. Even though the material occupation should be not material gain. Rather, everyone should offer the results of his occupational activities. Whatever the gain is there. A brahmana especially should execute his occupational duties not for material gain but to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmana especially is supposed to be a child. You see how horrible it is with all the brahmanas want his money. You go to Jagannath Puri sometimes. The pandas are coming. Oh, it's not Govardhan anywhere. Because they all have the donation. I was shocked when I went to Puri. Because I'm Western, I can't go in to temples, you know. But I went to visit Gundicha, just look outside and everything. And next to Gundicha, there's a Nrisimha temple. I want to show it to the Nrisimha there because I said, you can't come in. To the rest of it. Oh, okay. Look at it. And then he said, but if you give me, 2,000 rupees, you can come in. He says, I need, because if you come in, then everything is contaminated. And then after you leave, I have to clean everything, change the beauty dress, change the garlands, everything, So I want 2,000 rupees. Of course, it would only cost him, 200 rupees. Do whatever I say. If you know you can't do it, we have to keep our temple pure, but 2,000 rupees, you can do it. And then everywhere you go, people are coming, give me money. Everybody with a little temple, give me money. You can see that it's only they're doing this just for them. Yeah? Yeah? Not too much. Puri was the worst place, but even Ganga, Manasi Ganga, and Govardhana, as soon as you get out of your car, the sea specials are very American, Money. It's very bad. Dominant religion. Prabhupada mentions this verse is confirmed in the Vishnu Purana. You should look at that verse. It's quoted when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Ramananda Roy. He says, recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. A shloka about sadhya. Sadhya. Sadhana, the process, and sadhya, the goal. Tell me one. Shloka.
So his sloka was Varnashrama Chara Vata. This is the one from Vishnu Purana. Prabhupada mentions in the purport. This verse is confirmed in the Vishnu Purana. Varnashrama Achara Vata. Varnashrama Achara Vata. Purushena Tara Kuman. Vishnu Arajyate Pamsa Namya Tatpushakarana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped. He Vishnu Arajyate. Arajya is worshipped. Vishnu Arajyate. By the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashrama. Varna Ashrama, Achara, acting that way, Vata. One who behaves according to the system of Varna and Ashrama, by a person worshipping Pura, Kuman, Vishnu, Arajyate. Then it says, Panta na anyat tat kosikarana. And there is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of four bhavanas of Ashrama. That's what this verse says. Prabhupada says, this is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana, 3.8.9. As stated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasha, the purpose, the purport is that one can realize life's perfection simply by satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada, this is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Here's the other verse. Ata kundhir dhivyasesta varnashrama vibhagasaha Vanushkita Dharmasya Samsidhi Hari Purushana. The best among the Christborn, Jesus is God. It is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Samsidhi Hari Purushana. Every man should perform his occupational duty in the light of his particular tendency. According to his ability, one should accept a position in the Varnashrama institution. The divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra are natural divisions within society. Indeed, everyone has a prescribed duty according to the Varnashrama Dharma. Natural because actually it depends upon the mode of goodness. That's why it's natural. So, those people, there will be people who are situated naturally in the mode of goodness. And then, you know, you start to bring in a little passion and then you get enough passion in there to some point. It's a little fuzzy. But it also depends upon training. There may be some people, there's a mixture of passion, goodness and passion. There can be a Brahmana, but a Brahmana like, say, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, who are teaching Kshatriyas. They're Brahmanas, but they're actually on the battlefield. Or maybe you could be a Brahmana like Chanakya Pandit. Or you could be a Kshatriya like maybe Yudhisthira, you know. Very different from, say, Bhima. Right? Bhima liked to fight, and Yudhisthira was always horrified. So he's like a little boy. So then you go down, mode of passion, then a little more ignorance, then a certain point. There's a mixture of passion and ignorance, then Vaishya.
And then finally, more arrogance is more than personal ego. Each Brahmana, Vaishya, Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya, they have the capacity for independent action. Shudra means actually needs to be directed all the time by somebody. Here's how you can tell the difference. You give somebody, you want to know, is this person Vaishya or Shudra? You give him $5,000, $10,000. Say, go make money. Here's your capital. If he's Vaishya, he'll come back with $20,000, $50,000. If he's Shudra, he'll come back and say, it's all gone, give me some more. Cost you some money, but you can tell for sure after a while. So Shudra needs to be, Prabhupada used the word general assistant, need to be taken care of. And actually you can see most workers, that's what they want. They want job security. I just want to go to work and make sure I will get money, paycheck every day regularly, and that somebody will be taking care of me in my old age. I have a pension. Used to be, even then, some family would do that. Somebody would work for somebody all their life in some kind of service like that. But then when they got old, still people, you'd take care of them. Wouldn't say, okay, you're too old, go away. No, you take care of them. Just like the saying, I mean, you take care of cows when they're old. You know. So if the person is serving a Vaishya or a Kshatriya, nevertheless, you receive service all I want, now you have to take care of them in old age too. That is natural. But now, of course, nobody thinks like that. So then they need labor unions and so on. And they want the government to take care of them every time. Like Sweden and the socialist state, everybody is taken care of by the government. So that's because socialist is Shudra philosophy, the workers, the working class. Because now, of course, this division now, because people are exploiting, now we don't like this anymore. And we don't like the idea. When Prabhupada would describe this, he would describe the four varnas as first class man, second class man, third class man, fourth class man. He used language like that. And it really upset people. He described the system, and some priests were there, and they would say, that's elitist. To say someone is first class, someone is second class, someone is... So we have to pretend there's no division. So that, of course, leads to... Anyway, what Prabhupada finally said, I heard him say this in New York, when the reporter said, why have you come to America? He said, I've come to give you a brain. Your society has no head. It means there are no Brahmanas. And later on in the conversation, he said, and he described this head, arm, belly, and legs. And later in the conversation, he said, actually, in your society, this is a New York City airport. He said, in your society, everyone is Shudra. And there are a few Vaishyas. Everyone is Shudra. So even if somebody has some capacity to be a Brahmana or a Kshatriya, actually they all end up being Shudras. One thing is, Shudra means every day, every week you get a paycheck or every month. As soon as one receives a paycheck, one is Shudra. You're in service, you're an employee. Who's your employer? Who's your employer? Even professors get paychecks.
military men get paid sex. It's the condition of modern society that everyone becomes a shudra. And there are a few vices. And you'll discover, even in America, that 5% of the families own 90% of the wealth. That's a fact. When we look at the government that is doing so many things, you see how the government is working. Many people say, because then you see you have presidents and things who really are not very bright, not very smart. The only thing is they're good actors. They're just coached by people. When there's Ronald Reagan was a president, he was an actor. Actor means, by the way, shudra. That's the profession. Actors, musicians, all. That's the occupational duty. But anyway, so who are these people working for? Everyone to understand, who are the owning people, who are the people that own everything in America? And actually, because to get elected now, you need so much money for your campaign, the people are donating to them. Millions of dollars for their campaign. And most of the people, they donate to both sides. So, it looks like there's a big battle going on. But whoever wins, they're employed by the same vices. There are a few vices. Or, you may find out in America, because people like to spend and they don't have that much money, almost everyone is in debt with credit cards, mortgages, car payments. Everything is bought like that by going into debt. Nobody buys a car or a house with cash. And most people, the credit cards are coming and they're always paying interest. So this is and you find out that same division, 80-90% of the people are debtors and 5% creditors. Very few. So what Prabhupada said, everyone is shudra and there are a few vices. It's actually true. And now with globalism, the whole world will become, is becoming like that. Becoming like that. So how do we know what varna people are in nowadays? You don't know. Because it's your nature, but also training. Even Prabhupada says when you chant Hare Krishna, the result will be that ignorance, modes of ignorance, modes of passion become reduced. So people can actually come up to a certain extent. Maybe everybody can't immediately become Brahmana, but they become Kshatriya. There are no Kshatriyas now. God, with them, it's very much. My father was a professional military officer, so I grew up among the army people. And actually, people who were really Kshatriyas were a little dangerous. Because most fighting now is using technology. And the people who become really advanced in the military are the people who work with the companies that make the military technology. And of course, to be a fighter doesn't mean you have to be a Kshatriya. Where's your strength? Where's your skill? No, you take a gun. You see any of these modern weapons I have? You pick them up. They're made out of plastic. They're like a toy. And you have to have skill. No, you just hold down the trigger and point. People are falling down dead all around you. And the other side has the same firepower. Whether you live or die, it's completely chance. Completely chance. Skill doesn't matter so much. Modern warfare means these two armies loaded with technology, they come into contact with each other. They chew up human beings and machineries at an incredible rate, and the one that runs out first loses. That's what modern warfare is. It has nothing to do with skills. That's why they have women in the army now. They need to put people in there. They need more people to go in. You don't have to be strong anymore. You don't even have to be brave. You just have to be, anybody can pick up the weapon. That's why they have children soldiers in some places now. Africa. You see it in Africa, you see the picture of these little children with the... What's happened to conceptualism? They just shoot them with guns. They're employees. It's all being run by the companies that make the weapons. We used to work for those people. Airplanes, right. Airplanes. Very expensive weapons. One airplane costs $2 billion. One bomber costs $2 billion. That's what the real thing is. Aircraft carry huge weapon systems. Cost a fortune. So. Let me just read the other verse. Yeah. Atapumbir Bhivasaita Sanashrama Vibhagavaha. So we don't have really that much that system anymore. But actually, if people just engage, whatever they do now, they're engaged in system service, they become a little freed from. Purified by that service, then again we'll see. I see. The varnas are natural. The varnas are natural. Prabhupada thought that because it said that by the power of devotional service you can change shudras into brahmanas. Just like by mantra and yogi process, it can be changed, you can change gold metal into gold. It's transmutation. So also shudras could be changed into brahmanas. And that's the whole purpose. Otherwise, we're the Brahmanists. You know, I used to also live in academics. I have a PhD. I stayed with the so-called Brahmanists for a long time. I know they're Shudras. I know this for a fact. They don't behave like Brahmanists. Neither do they have, they don't have no, Brahmana means you know what is Brahman. They're absolutely, completely baffled. They have no idea. So mostly what the universities have become, it is now, they're the servants also of industry. The same people that is employing the government, they're also employing the universities. Universities require money, all those professors need things, they have to be engaged in research. What is that research mostly that's really maintaining the university? Technology. All the technology, what you can sell. You're a scientist? No, actually you're an employee of some genetic engineering company. So people can become rich with genetic engineering. All the universities now are really owned by corporations. The same people that own the government. So when Prabhupada says everyone is a teacher. It is a difficult situation right now. There are no Brahmanas, there are no Kshatriyas. A few Vaishyas. And then everyone else is Shudra. Vaishya means productive class. See, the Brahmanas are the intellectuals. They don't really produce wealth. They just guide and direct. The Kshatriya protects. Government. Used to be king. Now we have more improvements, but they protect. But the government, how is the government maintained? By taxation. So who do they tax? They tax the vices, the productive class.
The actual system is vices are supposed to live by agriculture and cow protection, krishi and govaksha, by plowing and cow protection. But then on the side, they have some surplus, there can be trade, banking, and a little manufacture. But now what's happened is the vices have now become, also because of modern conditions, the vices taking advantage of industrialization, they become the capitalists. And now, because we are in this situation, really it is vices maybe who run everything. I mean, the Shudras tried to take over. I mean, capitalism is vicious philosophy, and Shudra philosophy is communism or socialism. So the communists, after the vices went away, after the kshatriyas went away, we did that in the 18th century, right? In America, in the West, we had like the French Revolution, the American Revolution. What were they revolutions of? They were revolutions of vices against the kshatriyas. Kshatriyas meaning the kings. Remember when they had the guillotine chopping off the head of all the kings? Government of the people, by the people, for the people, and so on. No kings, right? One French philosopher of that time said, humanity will never be free until the last priest, no, until the last king is strangled with the intestines of the last priest. Get rid of the priest, get rid of the king. Then who's in charge? Turns out it's the vices. They organize, they become the capitalists, they take advantage of industrialization, they make big factories, put everybody in factories, they come off the land, they make their wealth not through fishing and gorakya, but through manufacture, and create big, and trade, make big, big wealth. But what do they do to the workers? They don't take care of them anymore. They exploit them. So then there's a now the workers try to make a revolution against the vices. This is the communist and socialist. That's basically Hegel's philosophy, ideology. But now it's going down, right? The Soviet Union, 1989, the Berlin Wall came down, Soviet Union is over. The only communist country left is Bengal. But you notice how even the communist government, they want the globalization, they want the companies to come and make business now. Just like China is still officially a communist country, but everybody knows that's only, it's going out the window, right? So aside from Cuba and Bengal and Kerala, there's no communists left, right? There's Cuba and Bengal. So they're going out of the way. There will be things. And but you notice now what's happened when the fall of the Soviet Union, what's happened is the vices again are coming back up with this globalization. Globalization means, where can we get cheap labor? You see, here in this country, in America, the advanced European countries, the figures had some power. They had labor unions and everything. So now we just move all the factories, the work to India or China or Indonesia or somewhere in the third world. We need the third world for the cheap labor. From America, we move it to Mexico.
there. That's what's happened. So now they're coming back, the Vaishnavas. Big time. They were a little scared for a while. Although people didn't like communism in America, you should notice that when the Soviet Union went down, it became harder for workers everywhere. Because now, workers in America, they used to have labor unions and benefits, and now it's just gone away. It's disappeared. In America now, the difference between the rich and the poor is going bigger and bigger and bigger. And you may not notice because everybody looks rich, but actually, those who are really, really rich. You don't see them. They're so rich you never see them. They don't go to the airport, they have their own jets. They don't live on the streets, their houses are hidden away in different places. You don't see them. The real upper class is invisible. Those people that look like the rich, they're down further. They just got a little money showing off. But those who are really rich, they don't need to show off. You don't see them. Anyway, we should stop. See the Prabhupada, you guys.